Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the downtown aquarium as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? No Blank today. He's out. Will Kunkel is in for Blank. I'm still Branham, though. And Ryan's behind the glass doing the hard work. Brian is off again. The guy gets so many days off. It's crazy. A lot of days off. How is it in your ear? We just sat down, so the levels might be messed up. You good?
I think I'm good.
Okay.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, can you hear
I'm trying
okay?
to figure out the Wi-Fi here. I think I'm on. I think I'm ready to roll.
You got it?
Yeah, let's party.
All right, good. You want to try a What Up H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Am I ready for that?
I don't think anybody's ready for it.
No.
You okay.
Know,
I don't blame you.
Let's lean into that. You know, let's tease that.
That works for me. Astros lost a baseball game yesterday in Sacramento. This is a weird series to me, Will, because like a road series, four-game set, you split it. It's not the worst thing in the world. It doesn't feel great because the A's are in last place in the American League West. I'm not going to overreact to something in June, and the standings are favorable right now for the Astros. It was just a weird series in which the two games you won, you killed them, you crushed them, and the two games that you lose, you lost in the final at bat.
Isn't this the Astros? Like, they have the potential to beat bad teams really badly like they did, and then if the pitching doesn't work out and the offense goes a little bit quiet, then all of a sudden you lose to a team that you probably shouldn't lose to. But at the same time, like, you win two of three. That's the goal. I don't care who you're playing. It's still Major League Baseball. Winning two of three is the goal at minimum every single time. That's 66 baseball. You ain't gonna finish the season 66. So take it, run, move on, let's go.
All right, you're not worried about it. You're not worried about the.
I mean, remember last time we did this? It was the morning after we lost to White Sox or something, and it was like, all right, so Yordan, like, what's that trade bait look like? What could we get back for Yordan? When do we get rid of Chaz? How do we handle?
We weren't doing that, were we?
Oh, we weren't not doing it.
We were trading Yordan then.
We were talking. Put it this way. We talked about what it would take and in how many years we are away from that.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah, you were in...
I was in Arlington.
Arlington, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, great to be next to you.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen you in a while. I think the last time that I saw you in person was probably the tournament, right?
Maybe.
Might have been the NCAA tournament.
You doing okay? You
no, I've not... Do I miss you? Is that the question?
Yeah, both.
Yes, I miss you. No, I'm not doing okay. I refuse to let myself think about that game.
That game, man... That was a wild game, but again, it's one of those everything kind of regresses to the mean. You see what happened to Duke? They had no business winning that game,
yeah.
And they win. They had a little bit of business, I suppose, losing to Florida. Florida was a damn good team. It's a national championship game. That stuff happens, I guess.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it, Will. I refuse to.
Let's do a whole segment.
It was great seeing you, but I refuse to allow myself to think about that game. But I think what you said is valid. Like. You know, you could have very easily lost the semi. You could have very easily won the final. Did it shake out the way it was supposed to? I don't know. That's for higher powers than me. Here was how the walk-off sounded last night, though, on Oakland. I guess not Oakland. Sacramento Athletic Television.
Here's the pitch. Oh! Nick Kurt destroys another baseball. Home run hero here in Sacramento.
That was Jenny Kavanaugh on the call. Killer Bees are big fans of Jenny Kavanaugh. You a fan of Jenny Kavanaugh? Great the call we do, 1 to 10. We always say very, very nice things about Jenny Kavanaugh / S.
Is she a sponsor?
That's messed up. Is she a sponsor? We'll let anybody be sponsors. But no, she's not a sponsor. For Kavanaugh, though, this was a fine call. I sincerely mean that.
I have
it was
no
a fine
problem
call.
With that call.
You want to hear the Lawrence Butler one?
Do you hear the Dippin' Dots?
Yeah, we couldn't play that on the air.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would have been a fine. You know what's funny, though, is whenever I parked, I walked into the downtown aquarium where we're at today. Great time if you're in the area or any time that you're in the area. I walked by a Dippin' Dot stand just outside, and I immediately thought of that Jenny Kavanaugh awful announcing from yesterday.
Was that a Freudian slip, you know, type of deal?
To be fair, she was outside on the right field berm during that game. They were, doing it from
weird.
The right field seat. I can't call it seats because it's a minor league park and there aren't seats there. But here was her Lawrence Butler call from yesterday.
Lawrence Butler, he swings on one. Out to right field.
There you go. A little Jenny Kavanaugh. Our listeners crave Jenny Kavanaugh calls, so we're giving you the Jenny Kavanaugh. There was some debate, Will, on whether or not they should have pitched to Nick Kurtz in that spot with Josh Hader. Are you going to listen to that at all?
No. Why? Listen, Josh Hader's one of the best. He's been the best, arguably, in all of baseball this season. You ride and die with him. He's not a guy that you intentionally walk anybody with.
No, I –
Do you?
Not in that spot. I mean, if you're facing, like, you know, Aaron Judge, okay, put him on. But he's not Aaron Judge. And it's a lefty-on-lefty matchup. Kurtz has been swinging a good bat, but he strikes out a lot. And you have a strikeout pitcher on the mound. No, I would have pitched to him there. I don't think it was a fair criticism of Joe Espada. I think there's certain hitters there that you should walk, but it's not Nick Kurtz and it's not lefty-on-lefty.
You're Josh Hader. It's the Athletics. We're in the middle of June. I'm okay with the decision that was made. Ride or die with the guy that's been the best closer in baseball. It's always so easy to go back and say, why didn't we do this when it didn't work out? Why didn't we do that when it didn't work out? I've gotten into it with a couple Astros fans recently because I said, and we can get into this later, I said Joe Espada is deserving of AL Manager of the Year. And it's he did this with Jake Myers. He did this with Jeremy Pena, XYZ, like, he's any decision that he made to start the season, he's kind of rectified by moving Jeremy Pena to the leadoff spot. Jake Myers has played really good baseball, especially at the plate. Like, he's made a lot of changes that a good manager makes and that it's not easy to make either.
No, I think he's had a good season. Coming into this year, we were calling him Joe Maspada because I thought last year he was fine. I mean, it's tough to look at last season because they were 12-24 and he got them into the playoffs. Like, that's pretty good. That's a good job. But then you can point to the first 36 and be like, well, you were 12-24 after your first 36 and you're inheriting a really good team. So I thought last year he was fine. Like, I think he's a top half of the league manager. Do I think this season he should be in the running for manager of the year? Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Like, the Astros have had tons of injuries. You're missing your best offensive player. You're without 60% of your opening day starting rotation, and you're leading the division comfortably and fighting for one of the top two spots in the American League. I think it's a fair take, for sure.
I think what he did last year, he set himself up for success this year because he didn't overreact to stuff. He did it. He wasn't in the clubhouse flipping tables every time Josh Hader was bad to start the season, and Brian Abreu, and Ryan Presley. Like, those guys were horrible. There was no other button for Joe Espada to press last year outside of those guys. We walked out of spring training into the regular season and said, this is the best back end of the bullpen in all of baseball. That is the strength. And he turned to that strength game in and game out, and they let him down game in and game out. That's not his fault. He can't reinvent those guys. Those guys are solidified. Now, coming into this year, because of his cool, calm demeanor, always positive and uplifting, I think that's earned him his stripes, and that's earned him the benefit of the doubt in that clubhouse on how to handle things. I also love how he talks to the players and gets their insight. Maybe doesn't do what they want maybe all the time, and we don't know about those things, but things like Jose Altuve saying, I'm not in the leadoff spot anymore. And he takes that advice, he rolls with it, and now Jeremy Pena is a stud.
Can we give Espada credit for putting Pena in the leadoff spot if it was Jose Altuve's idea?
You know, it's fine. I was thinking about that yesterday. But to even listen, like, there's so many managers that say, you know what, you do the playing part, I'll do the managing part. Thanks, but no thanks. Joe, you know, he's got his leadership committee, if you will, and certainly Jose Altuve's on that. And if he says something, you listen and you roll with it. Maybe you don't agree with it, but, yeah, you know, I think Joe's done a really good job this year as well.
Can I throw a working theory by you? I'm not saying that I believe this, right? Do you have to believe a theory to pitch a theory?
No, you can you can discuss a theory.
That's what scientists do, right?
They used to.
They just like throw stuff against the wall and then hope it sticks.
Exactly.
So here's my scientific theory, throwing something against the wall, seeing if it sticks. I'm not sure that Jose Altuve told Joe Espada to move Pena to the leadoff spot. I think Joe Espada wanted to move Pena to the leadoff spot, and they came up with a very calculated lie that makes Jose Altuve look good to do it. Oh, okay, Jose Altuve knocked on my clubhouse door or my office door and said, yeah, I think Jeremy should bat second. Oh, okay, he needs more time coming in from left field before he can step into the batter's box. Okay, maybe you're not with me on that one, but how about the whole moving to left field thing? Remember whenever he initially, he's moving to left field. Why was he moving to left field? He was moving to left field in case they signed Alex Bregman. What a teammate. What an icon. What a legend. He's willing to move to the outfield for the sake of Alex Bregman. What do we know now? We know that he was actually doing it before they even had this second effort at Alex Bregman. And why did they move Jose Altuve to the outfield? Because his defense at second base is terrible, and they didn't want him to play second base behind Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. So they came up with this little calculated lie that makes Jose Altuve look great, doesn't make him look bad. You don't have to say he's terrible at second base and we don't want a terrible defender behind Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown. So let's come up with a way to make our legend look good by doing it.
I think a little bit of both can be true. So let's attack the second one first here with Jose Altuve going to left field. His defense was atrocious. It wasn't good enough. Jose knows that. So maybe he comes up with the idea of like, hey, how can I get out of this position? How can I help the team? Maybe left field, you can hide me there. Short porch, big wall. You know, my arm's not going to be massively an issue out there. As for the leadoff spot, it was me who asked Joe the question, like kind of how this came about. So it wasn't them that pitched that idea. They didn't roll out with it. I was sitting next to Joe in the clubhouse or in the dugout, and he said it was actually Jose that came up with it when I asked a specific question. I can't remember exactly what it was. And it kind of took us all by surprise because we're like, oh, shoot, really? And then we talked to Jose afterwards, and he said that he wanted the extra time. It was good for him to be able to go that route. As for who, Jeremy Pena or not, I always thought Jeremy should be in the one or two spot.
So shame.
I think I deserve the credit.
I'll give you the credit. I don't care. I don't necessarily believe that entire theory. It's just a little fun to throw out
theory.
There. And I believe the positional theory more than I believe the batting order theory. I think the batting order theory is actually – mostly true. Like the whole he needs more time really only applies half the time though. Like you don't need more time when you're the visiting team. So like that part of it's kind of like you can poke some holes in it. But I like Jeremy Pena in the leadoff. I wanted Jose Altuve batting third for the last few years. So I'm happy that it eventually got to that spot. But just fun to throw out there. Especially the defensive thing. Yeah, he's moving out there for Alex Bregman. Except you had him taking fly balls before the second effort at signing Alex Bregman. You wanted to get him off of the position defensively because you have ground ball starters at the top of your rotation, and he played left field even though you didn't sign Alex Bregman. That's the funny thing. And plus, Espada lied the other day. He lied Tuesday night with the roster move thing. He was asked, is your bench healthy? And he said, yeah, our bench is healthy. And then Brendan Rodgers goes on the injured list the very next day for something that happened prior to his comments to the media.
I always get conflicted with the injury stuff and how honest someone needs to be with us because they are still competing. Like in hockey, it's upper body, lower body. So you don't want everyone to know like where to press on it, right? Like in NFL, you're forced to kind of say what it is, but you want to be a little bit mum in these press conferences. Baseball is not as much, but maybe availability in that situation, although Brandon Rodgers, by all means, please, I'll send the limo for him to take an at bat if I'm the opposing pitcher.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always kind of like get conflicted with that. I want honesty, open and transparency, but at the same time, like, why would they ever tell us?
Yeah. See, I don't even need transparency. Like I'm with you on what you just said. Like I don't need the transparency. I don't need them to tell us everything and this is all that or whatever. But whenever you're asked, "Hey, is anyone injured?" and you say flat out no, well, I can't take you seriously then. Like, I can't take you seriously if you're flat out saying no. I think the approach there is we're not ready to announce a roster move.
There's a better way to handle it, right? Like, there's a better way to say, you know, we're a little dinged up, as any team is right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on the transparency thing. That's something that Blankers and I will get into a lot. Like if you look at the Texans just belief in, like, their belief is we're not going to tell you anything. Like, you asked D'Amico Ryans an injury question game week, we'll see where he arrives. We'll see where he arrives. We'll see where he arrives. We have fun with it on the show. Oh, here's another D'Amico injury question. What's he going to say? We'll see where he arrives. So they have a very specific plan on how they want to handle those questions. Unless it's like season ending, then you'll be like, yeah, he's out for the year. You don't have to worry about him anymore. The flat out, no one's hurt. Lands on the IL the next day. Oh, yeah, he was hurt yesterday, by the way, when I lied to you. And he gaslit the media, too. It's just, and is it tangible? Does it matter? Not really. No, not really. Does it affect his managing prowess? No. Is it going to impact the win-loss record? No. It's just kind of weird.
I don't disagree, especially, and I will just say it's case-by-case scenarios, and this one I don't understand, like, why just not say something?
Yeah.
Who cares?
All right, 713-780-ESPN. We are at the Downtown Aquarium. If you're in the area, you want to get some good seafood, you want to enjoy some of the rides they have here, maybe pet a stingray. That could be something that you're into as well.
Do you get to pick your own seafood? Like, I want that one?
No, they just go to the aquarium and say, this is what you're getting.
Yeah, that's what I want.
No, it's a sit-down place.
I want that little yellow one.
I haven't I'm not sure how that would taste. Wouldn't be a whole lot either. Looks like you'd be on a diet, a seafood diet. Todd Kallas, voice of the Astros, will be joining us at 4 o'clock. Talk some NBA Finals. And what is going on today on a Durant of our lives? Also, we'll play Who Said It later. No Brian today, but still he's forcing us to play the world's worst game, Who Said It. We'll do that later. 713-780-ESPN. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. I'm at Jeremy J. Brand. I'm there. What's your TikTok handle?
At Will Kunkel V. Just type in Kunkel in all your platforms.
And what's your Twitter's at Will Kunkel?
Yeah.
I'm at Jeremy Branham. You can find us there at ESPN 975 as well. No Twitch for us today. It's behind the firewall here at the Downtown Aquarium. They won't allow us to be on the Twitch, so no toxicity today. But we are on the YouTube. You can find us there. We'll talk more about this Astros game yesterday, evening the series at 2 apiece. And also, Astros admin, they've been known for a lack of feel at time. Was last night another example of that? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Downtown Aquarium on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Downtown Aquarium as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Will Kunkel in for Blankers today. You can come over, though, sign up to register to win those e-bikes. $4,000 value. Victoria's here. Apparently Joe and Mays were being, they thought they were like hostesses. Mapes and Joe, like, what? Where can we sit? And Joe's like,
where's the bathroom?
Wherever. Yeah, they were asked that a lot, which I think it is nearby, in case you were wondering. So Twitter, the Astros admin yesterday got criticized a little bit for a tweet they had yesterday, and the Astros admin does lack feel. There's no doubt about that. They sent out a tweet yesterday, who's watching with admin, hashtag built for this, hashtag a beer sponsor, right at midnight, and it's welcome to Astros after dark. The moment the tweet was sent out, it was the bottom of the 10th, and there was a runner at third base with nobody out. Oh, so they're being criticized for not having any feel of the situation. Like, come on, Stros admin, you're about to lose the game. Like, you're a pitch away from losing the game. So I understand the argument, but at the same time, it was sent out exactly at midnight with a sponsor. This is standard. Like, I'm going to give Astros admin a free pass here, which is very unlike me to do.
So you think it has nothing to do with the game? You think it was scheduled?
No, 100%. I think it hits midnight. It is now Astros after dark, and they have a sponsored element for Astros on dark. Astros after dark. I believe that the situation of the game was a coincidence. This tweet was going out at midnight no matter what.
But if they were playing East Coast, they obviously wouldn't be playing baseball at midnight. And they obviously wouldn't be playing baseball at midnight even in this game if they weren't in extra innings.
Correct.
So this is being sent regardless is what you're saying.
No. I'm saying this is being sent if they're playing baseball when midnight strikes.
Yeah, okay. Like, whatever. Yes. I get that. That's part of it.
Like, if they're playing the Angels, the Angels actually start, like, 30 minutes earlier for whatever reason. But if they have a long game, this tweet is being sent out again at midnight central no matter what if the final out has not been made.
If you have a problem with it, why? Who gives a...
Because they lack feel and they're like, hey, the Astros are about to lose. Why are you sending this out? If it didn't have a sponsored element, I would agree with that take. But because it has a sponsored element is why my opinion is the way that it is.
I was going to say, this is why and how you re-sign from Valdez. Well, tweets like that.
They haven't exactly done that very often, though.
Well, they are
signing their own.
That's because they haven't sent that tweet very often. The tide is turning.
They need Anheuser-Busch to fund the bill of Framber Valdez. What'd you think of Colton Gordon's performance last night?
I like Colton. I like what he brings. I think he did a good enough job. Like, well, let's remember, he's not supposed to be here. He's filling in right now. This is my biggest concern with the Astros right now, is getting through the regular season into the playoffs. I think that if they get to the playoffs, they're a very dangerous team because of their top two. We talked about this last time. It's right now, it's can Colton Gordon fill in enough? Can Spencer Arrighetti get back and get healthy and get rolling soon enough in the regular season? And whoever else is going to fill in, can they do it with regularity to keep this thing on the tracks right now? But five innings, seven hits, ball, like, what else are you going to ask for this dude?
No, I thought he was I didn't think it was his best performance, but I thought it's passable, right? Like, I kind of look at starting pitching performances from these back into the rotation guys as pass-fail. Like, did you land the plane? Colton Gordon, if he gives you five innings and gives up three runs, only two of them earned, like, you have a chance to win the game. And that's all that you're asking for when Gordon's out there. It's all you're asking for when Gusto's out there. It's all you're asking for when Brandon, Jamie Moyer, Walton is out there. Who else? I'm missing somebody else. Oh, yeah, the Jason Alexander, George Costanza. Like, you just want them to keep you in a game. And Colton Gordon, even though he wasn't his best yesterday, kept you in that game.
When Framber or Hunter are on the mound, I need – as you just said, your best effort, your best game, I need that 7 out of 10 times. These guys, like, 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10. Like, then you're, like, that's what you're escaping. You're living on borrowed time with some of these dudes. There's a reason they were in the minors and their career minor leaguers. It doesn't mean that some of these won't pop and you won't catch lightning in the bottle. Like, have favorable matchups in particular, like, whether it's against the Royals or an anemic Rangers offense or the Athletics. But Colton did his job. His job's not to win games. His job is to keep you in a game. Yeah. That's his job. Framber and Hunter, their job is to beat any team in the league no matter what and help you win that game. Colton is just to keep you around and keep you relevant.
Yeah, I like Gordon too. I actually think he has a chance to be a rotational piece for the foreseeable future. Like, it's not bad. It's pretty good. He's not going to kill you with velo, but he's got really good spin, and he's got great – I'm a Colton Gordon fan too, and it's not just because he went to UCF and it's a Big 12 brethren. I think he's pretty solid. It is interesting though that the Astros could be in a spot where, like, we're hearing these pitch, and with the Astros, you never know how the return to play is going to turn out. But JP France is throwing his third live BP. Javier was throwing a live BP for the first time yesterday, hitting 95 through 20 pitches. Luis Garcia is supposed to throw a live BP soon. Spencer Arrighetti is going to be good to go, hopefully sometime in July, maybe after the All-Star break, maybe even August. But there's actually guys that are coming back. Lance McCullers is currently on the IL. He's coming back. The Astros have like 9 starters that could help them this year, maybe even more than that.
Now, granted, Colton Gordon hasn't pitched nearly as much as Framber Valdez, but Framber has blown up more times than Colton has this season. He's given up 5 runs in a game, 7 runs in a game. Colton's only given up 4 runs one time. Every single start, 3-3-3-4-1-2-2. That is really good. Yeah. Now, he's not going deep into games. He's giving you 5 innings of work basically every game that he goes out there. But that is more than enough for a guy that ideally is not even in your rotation.
Yeah, he's a back half of the rotation guy at best. I'm with you. I like Gordon. We did see a pretty good example of why Jose Altuve got moved to left field with a throwing error at second base yesterday. That allowed to run to – he tried really hard, though. I mean, he gave it all his might.
He had fun.
He put all of his gusto into that throw as he airmailed Christian Walker. People still argue with me about that. I can't believe Altuve's in left field and not your everyday second baseman. It's like, do you watch the games?
Your team is significantly better because you're getting the better bats in there. Now, you didn't know that second base was kind of going to be a hole offensively.
Yeah.
You thought you'd be a little bit better – with what's his name that just went on the IL?
Rogers.
You thought he would be a little bit better. Now, unfortunately, that's not the case. But, like, this is a massively better team offensively, amazingly, than it would be with Altuve at second because who are you putting in left?
Yeah, and we have the injuries right now, too. Like, exactly. Chaz isn't available. DeCinzo's not available. I think it goes to your point, really, about Espada, because what I think Espada's doing pretty good about is when to play Altuve in left and when to play him at second. Like, I think there's only been one game that was pitched by Framber or Hunter Brown this year that Altuve played second. He's been in left field or DHing all those other games or off day. So I think he's doing a really good job of when to move Altuve around. Like, okay, fly ball pitcher, you play second. Oh, ground ball pitcher, you're going to go to the left.
How big is the outfield? Like, where's that wall? Is it tough to play? Things like that. You know, he can escape and play left field at Daikin very easily because he gets helped out by that short porch. Mm-hmm.
Texter, she's insufferable, talking about Jenny Kavanaugh.
You didn't have to say who. We knew who she he was
that's
talking
not,
about.
No. We're not going to read mean texts about Jenny Kavanaugh. We're not going to read she's insufferable on the air. We wouldn't have disrespect like that.
You know, that's one of my favorite things about this show is that you don't read those
We don't read mean things like that.
I love that. It's high class. You set the bar high.
Yeah.
For the rest of radio, it's so easy to go low in radio.
Yep.
You, my friend, you don't play that game.
We're not lowbrow.
I dig that about
with the
you.
Killer. We don't read texts like, she's insufferable.
What does that add?
She makes my ears bleed. We don't read texts like that on this show, 713-780-3776. Did you see the benches clearing last night in L.A.?
I've heard more about it than I saw it.
Let's kick that around when we come back. It's one of my favorite things in sports, quite frankly. I love when the bench is clear. We'll discuss more next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You've been in the market for a new vehicle, then you need to listen up. Whether it's a new vehicle, whether it's a pre-owned vehicle, Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. Transparent, no hassle pricing. You're going to love doing your car shopping at Monument Chevrolet. They've been serving the Houston area for 50 years. And they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles. And these families keep coming back because they trust the fine people at Monument Chevrolet. It's a family feel over there, the friendly atmosphere. They hire great people. So that culture that's always been good remains good. Also, if you're looking for a vehicle for your business, Monument Chevrolet has you covered. They're one of the biggest and best dealerships nationwide in commercial vehicle sales. A huge selection of work trucks, vans, SUVs. Monument Chevrolet has the perfect vehicle if your business is looking for vehicles for the inventory, for the stock, whatever, for the fleet, whatever the case may be. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. You can check out their entire inventory at monumentchevrolet.com, or you can just go visit them in person. It's a massive, massive lot. They have streets. They have street names for their streets on their massive lots. How big it is. 225 and Bellway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Downtown Aquarium as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, Kunkel in for Blankers today. We're out at the Downtown Aquarium, all a part of our Summer Circuit. You can join us every week as we visit different spots all over the greater Houston area. Each week, you can register to win a grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand-new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. All you have to do is stop by the promo table, say hello, be nice, and register to win. Of course, we're at the Downtown Aquarium. Joe and Maves were out here earlier, Kunkel and I here today. You can find the entire Summer Circuit schedule at ESPN975.com. I was just scrolling Twitter. I have a bad habit of doing that. I waste so much time scrolling Twitter. But this F1 movie promo showed up on my timeline. Have you seen this with Brad Pitt?
Yeah,
plays the driver
good.
Or whatever?
I'm in.
Same. I was going to ask you.
As soon as they said it was directed by the same guy that did that Top Gun Maverick as well.
Oh, is
I was
it?
Like, let's rock.
I didn't know that. I haven't watched a movie in a long time.
That was the last one I saw in theaters, which I didn't realize was pretty long ago at this point.
Yeah, it's probably double that for me. Texter 713-780-ESPN. The guest host this morning told Lance not to nominate you for Hall of Fame, that you're a clickbaiter. Grimace emoji. What is this all about, Kunkel? What is this texter talking about?
I'm a clickbaiter?
He said the guest host this morning. Oh, he's talking about Michael Connor. I thought he was talking about you.
He would never talk about me like that.
That's the second time that in as many days that unemployed Michael Connor's taken jabs at Branham. That's messed up. That's not very nice of him. Davis Mills will have a better career than Shedeur Sanders, cash or trash. I mean, probably pretty good.
I mean, Davis Mills is doing very well for himself. And jokes, is, like everyone has a jokes about a backup quarterback, but that is the life. I remember when I talked to, I worked at ESPN behind the scenes on Mike and Mike when I first graduated college. You remember Sean King? He played quarterback for the Buccaneers for a year or so.
I do.
He was there as an analyst, and I asked him one day, I was like, would you ever want to go back and play? Because he had recently just finished playing, and he was like, I'll play, but I don't want to start. Like, I'll go back. If I can hold a clipboard for a couple million dollars, I'm in, dude.
That's what Casey – I mean, Case Keenum's going to make tons of money over his career. And it's really – like, how do you get that job? It really – I mean, obviously you have to be good enough to be an NFL quarterback, but you don't have to be the best quarterback outside of a starter, right? Like, there's 32 teams in the NFL. So the quarterback 33 through 64. It's not the most talented quarterbacks, 33 through 64. It's the guys who are coaches in the room that can help the starter, you know, with film study. That if it's a young quarterback, that can be a mentor to that young quarterback. That's why Ben Johnson coveted Case Keenum in Chicago. Hey, we need a guy that kind of takes Caleb Williams under his wing and teaches him how to be a pro.
People will laugh because they don't understand the intricacies that go into being a rookie quarterback at the highest level. Like, where to park, when to arrive, where to get your food on game day, what to expect from the fans. Like, there's just so many things. Not to mention, and it sounds like, oh, my God, you don't know where to park? You don't know where to eat? Like, well, I also got a lot on my head right now, a lot on my plate about remembering the playbook, what's our script to start the game, and playing the actual game at the highest level in the NFL, the toughest position in all the sports. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. Eventually, you get all that down. That's why guys have routines and they stick to them, because not because they're superstitious, but because if you don't, then things feel out of whack and your mind's not in the right spot.
The Davis Mills thing is interesting, too. Like, I wonder, he signed that contract extension to stay the backup when he could have entered free agency, what, a year or two earlier? I wonder if he kind of knows where he's at in the NFL. Like, he's not a top 32 quarterback in the world. He's probably a top 50 quarterback in the world. But if you can carve out that career as being, holding the clipboard and being all those things you just described, I mean, you're going to be in the league for at least a decade and making good money for at least a decade.
Man, there's nothing better in life, and I mean this seriously, than self-awareness. Know your strengths, but also know your weaknesses. Know what you are and know what you are not. Davis Mills is not a year-in, year-out starting quarterback. In the right year, he could go somewhere and compete for a job. Yes. But is that the life that you want to live? Because then you're there on a one-year contract making, a couple million dollars. Or would you like stability, have your family in one city, know that you're a pretty dang good quarterback, now you're on a good team, and that quarterbacks get hurt a lot in this league. CJ's going to miss time, especially with what the line did last year. Davis will get his moments, and he's always the hero. Come in, throw a couple screens, couple dump-off passes, complete a touchdown pass, and be the man at Houston. Like, he's got it made.
He's got to be a pro. Like, if he's a pro, and he is, then he's going to have that job for as long as he wants it. Texter Luke at Cooper Rush, he just got paid great to not start. Good call. This is literally what the show Blue Mountain State is about, one of the funniest shows of all time, says St. Patrick. Have you watched that show?
I have not.
I haven't either. I've never got into it. What's your favorite football show?
I will tell you my least favorite football movie is Friday Night. What's the one with Al Pacino?
Oh, Any Given Sunday?
Yeah, as soon as the eye pops out on the 1 yard line, I'm like, are we good? Can we move on now?
Friday
Night Lights my favorite show.
See,
Clear
I like
Eyes, Full Heart.
I like the show more than the movie.
Absolutely. I thought the movie was okay.
Yeah, like the movie's not bad. It's not a criticism to the movie. It's more of a credit to the TV show. I almost quit the TV show after the first episode, though. Jason Street broke his neck, I was like, this is going to be soapy. It's not for me. I almost quit on it. But I was like, I'm going to give it a shot. And then it kind of, it settled
awesome.
Into the game.
If my wife is listening, Hannah, she will not watch past this first or second episode. She
really?
Doesn't think that it's going to be any good. All her girlfriends are telling her it's good. I'm telling her it's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. It's one of the best. I remember when it was over, I was like, so what's Riggins up to these days?
I know.
I was like, I watched like six in a row to wrap it up type of deal, and I got so sucked in. I was like, where's Timmy?
Underrated cast, too. Like, you had Minka Kelly in it. The wife is Connie Britton. That's her name, right? Always forget the coach's name. Something Chandler. Is it Michael Chandler?
No, I'm so bad at Hollywood stuff.
Did you – I don't remember the actor's name that played Riggins, but he played David Koresh in that Waco FX show.
He did the opening monologue, which was awesome this year for the Stanley Cup Finals.
How's his physique?
Not bad. You know it's him. Like he's
no,
still,
did he?
He's still Tip. It's still him. Taylor Kitsch is his name.
See, whenever he played David Koresh in Waco, he got really, really skinny. Like, he looked malnourished how skinny he was playing David Koresh in Waco. Like, that's why I asked about his physique. Like, I'm wondering if he just did that for the role and he's, like, beefed back up, or if he's just, like, super skinny and beefed up for the Riggins role.
He's not – that was not a role. He is Higgins. Like, that's one of those things where that's Higgins. Like, that's Coach Taylor. Those people are those people to me. They are not – they don't have other lives outside of that show.
Let me show you – let me show you when he plays David Koresh. I don't know how to play David Koresh's name. The Branch Davidians. Like, he is super skinny. Like, he's almost like who played Harvey Milk?
Is he a meth head in this
look,
or something?
Well, I mean, David, like I mean, David Koresh, he had a lot of things going on. I don't know if meth was one of them. That's more of Damon Arnett's thing. Look how skinny he is, though.
Yeah,
he's probably, what, 40 pounds? 40, 50, maybe more than 50. Look at this one. Look how skinny his face is.
That's not his playing weight.
He has zero body fat there.
Definitely
he
not.
Looks nothing like he did in Friday Night Lights.
Definitely not his playing weight.
He's, what would you call that, 50 pounds underweight?
Yeah.
Or at least less
that's
than.
That's not going to get it done at the fullback position.
So he's gained weight since he played David Koresh.
Yeah, he's Tim Riggins, though, forever and always.
All right, let's get into the brawl that happened yesterday in L.A. Got sidetracked there. Our bad. Oh, well, you'll get over it. 713-780-ESPN. Bench-clearing brawls. Is it fair or foul? Pardon the pun. Killer Bees broadcasting live for the Downtown Aquarium on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Downtown Aquarium as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Honeyglaze Branham says Michael Connor is trash. Bad word, Michael Connor. Keep Branham's name out your mouth, you ginger. Appreciate the love, Honey Glaze Brand. I appreciate you having my back. We're not going to read mean things about Michael Connor. Not going to call him trash, bad word, Michael Connor. Ginger's not a bad word, is it? So ginger's fine,
no,
right?
I think that's okay.
Maybe it's the tone that you're using it as.
Damn ginger. Like something like that I wouldn't recommend. Yeah. We wouldn't say that on the air.
We wouldn't say that about Michael Connor. Yeah. Kind of interesting, though. Fill-ins.
Getting hosed.
Going
huh?
at a... going at a full time, going at a full time host.
You need to show respect to the elders.
Would you?
Here.
Would you go at any full time host?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I grovel in your presence.
It's an interesting play there by one Michael Connor. All right, moving on. 713-780.
Interesting.
What's that?
Speaking of interesting,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
People watching's fun around here.
I thought you were watching the fish.
Well, man. Oh, all right. Move on, Jeremy.
The restroom's right that way.
Yeah. Do people that point out where restrooms are often sit behind a table with headsets and computers?
Yeah, that wasn't fake, though, by the way. Like, a lot of times I'm like, acting a bit. That was legit. We 100% just got to ask where the restroom was.
Wait, what about this setup says, oh, I'll ask those gentlemen.
Joe was warning us, saying that was going to happen. I wanted so bad to put a microphone on our board, and anytime they had a question, I'm sorry, could you ask it in the mic?
I would be here for that. Whoever's working that dump button time. Needs to be on.
That gentleman's wearing a Dodger hat. What did you think of that fight last night, huh? Yeah. Hey, you didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
Dodger hat, didn't even hear about a Dodger
that's
fight.
That's about right. That makes sense.
That's about right.
Par
right?
for the course.
Yeah, just wearing the Dodger hat. Actually, Dodger fan.
Wait, what? What do you mean? Where? Yeah.
It's the biggest storyline of the season for the Dodgers. I have no idea what you're talking about. Says the
What's
Dodger
that?
Fan.
Did they play last night?
So, anyways, if you missed this, Dodgers and Padres hate each other. They
I love it.
I do too. I love rivalry in sport, and I love a benches clearing. I wouldn't call it happened yesterday a brawl by any stretch of the imagination. And I have a long-standing take that baseball people sensationalize things. You threw at me, I'm going to lose my mind. You ran into my third baseman, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, baseball sensation, and I think it's because they play every single day. They play in the summer. It's a long year. They're away from home. So they get mad at literally anything and everything. And I love every bit of it. So the Padres and the Dodgers, they hate each other, played the playoffs last year. Yesterday, I think it was the fourth game of a four-game series. It was a series finale. I think it was a four-game series. Might be wrong on that, but series finale. There had been some bad blood in this series. There had been some hitters that were dotted up multiple times. Fernando Tatis ended up getting hit for the third time yesterday in the ninth inning. Padre manager, how do you say his name? Mike Schilt?
Mike Schilt, yeah.
He comes out of the dugout yelling at Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts comes out of his dugout, bumps Mike Schilt with his body, which, again, just great sensationalism. Walks out there and, like, gives him a belly bump. And then they start jawing. Everybody comes out. They start jawing. Dave Roberts, a manager, is telling the other manager, I'm going to meet you in the clubhouse after the game. This it was high drama last night in L.A. And then in the bottom of the ninth inning, the Padres reliever, I think it was Suarez, he hit Shohei Ohtani high and tight right on the shoulder. Loved every bit of it. I think that benches clearing is one of my favorite things in sports.
I think it is it's one of the most useless aspects in all of sports, because you clear the benches and you just yell at each other. The best is when the 6'4", 180-pound reliever starts running in 120 yards away. Oh, here I come!
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, Tony. Just stay out there, bud. We got this. They never do anything. The best
they belly bumped
brawl ever was one I remember is Yankees Orioles back in the day. Spilled into the dugout. Daryl Strawberry, like,
oh,
got
yeah,
after it.
Yeah. Got what are your favorite brawls? That's a good topic. What are your favorite brawls ever? 713-780-3776. You remember I think it was a minor leaguer. I want to say for the Boston organization, where he got hit. And he, like, super kicked the catcher,
yes,
and then sprinted out to
very
the mound.
Very smart
which
move.
Is, that's so smart. He had to know it was coming. Two, he had a plan. Three, he executed that plan to precision.
It was well done. Obviously, the Nolan Ryan, Robin Ventura comes to mind immediately. Like, you charge and get your tail handed to you. I mean, just cleaned your clock, put you in a headlock, and beat your teeth out.
Texture says Nolan Ryan and Ryan Sandberg. Unless I'm by the way, it's Ryan, not Ryan. I think he confused him with Robin Ventura. I don't remember a Ryan Sandberg and Nolan Ryan either. Brawl, do you?
I do not.
People always confuse the Nolan Ryan blood on the jersey with him punching Robin Ventura. But that was actually, he got hit by a comebacker and started bleeding.
That's right, and stayed in.
It was completely different.
Yeah,
I think, and
right.
I want to say the hitter might have even been Bo Jackson. I'm a little fuzzy on the details, but
I'm
maybe.
Good on that.
There was one with
Ozzie. Okay.
Go ahead.
Would you rather get run over by Bo or get hit by a line drive from Bo?
Oh, man. Like a punch from Bo? I'd probably – oh, man, that's tough.
No, a line drive comeback by Bo.
Yeah.
Or in football, he runs you over. That man could do it
where's
all.
Where's the line drive hitting me?
Not the face.
Probably the line drive then. Probably line drive.
That's blunt force trauma.
Yeah, but you're going to get blunt force trauma with him hitting you in the football field, and then you get all of his weight behind it.
Man.
I would go line drive.
That was a bad man.
But if you go face, I would have to go Bo Jackson.
Not the face. I'm going to take it a baseball to the face.
My take on Bo Jackson was that he was too athletic for his body. I think he was so athletic that he ran out of his hip.
You know what's funny? I don't disagree necessarily with that, because I saw it when I was covering, when I was in Carolina, I covered Christian McCaffrey. And he was, it's like he was too big, too thick, too fast for, like, what he was doing. It was like he got hurt all the time with the strained muscles because he was so freaking fast, mm-hmm, that he would get hurt. His body couldn't handle it.
No, I think that happens. And, like, they start working out too, like, so you throw that on
right
top of it. So, like, they outgrow what their body can handle. I think that's the truth with Zion Williamson too. Now, he didn't, like, outgrow.
Yeah, he's just too strong and too fit.
Yeah, he just got too heavy, you know. Mm. But remember whenever he ran out of his shoe at Duke?
Yes.
Whenever he ran out of his shoe at Duke, I'm like, this might be like a Bo Jackson type of thing where
he can't be held.
Yeah, like his body can't contain his athleticism and size. I think it was the same thing with Bo. I think that's like, I mean, obviously you need to work out and do all that stuff. But if you get so big as an athlete where you outgrow what you can handle, it can actually be counterproductive.
Well, your tendons don't grow. They don't grow stronger. So your ACL, MCL, all that stuff, like, they don't get any stronger. So all you're doing is putting more weight, more muscle, more strength, and more power in there, and your tendons can't actually handle it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That's why I never went to the NFL and got so big.
Yeah.
Because my tendons, I knew that. These idiots don't know that.
Same.
I knew that. I knew that. I've known this for years, Jeremy. Yep.
Same. I'm right there with you. People always, you don't know anything about sports. You didn't play, which I always counter with. I was a 400 hitter in high school. I hit 400 at Humble High School. David Sitton, what's up?
Hell yeah.
I was 2 for 5. Rougned Odor and Bautista. That was a good one, too.
Great
at second
one.
Base. You know what was another underrated one? Was Jose Ramirez clocking Tim Anderson.
That was a good one.
That was a pretty strong one.
The Jose Bautista, Rougned Odor one was so good because it felt like Odor's punch spoke for America. I think everyone was like, done with this dude. And the bat, because the bat flip. Now, I don't have the problem with the bat flip. It just seemed like so much from that guy. He just seemed like he was always making himself the center of attention, and he was irritating as all hell. And Odor just said, you know what, dude? But Bautista ate that.
He ate it.
So I don't know what that says about Odor and the punch that he delivered. I don't know if he pulled it. But
well, I mean, he knocked him down, didn't it?
I don't think so.
I want to say it knocked him down. Maybe I'm thinking Tim Anderson. Maybe I'm confusing him.
How about A.J. Pierzynski and Michael Barrett? Cubs, White Sox,
that
play
was,
at the plate.
Yep. That was
and
a really good
right
one
to the jaw. A.J. ate that punch from Barrett.
I can't stand A.J. Pierzynski.
Okay, so one of my favorite players.
Is he really?
Yeah,
I
because he
stand
was
him.
He was just a mouthy, obnoxious guy that I thought was awesome. I loved it. Loved it.
Maybe that's why I don't like him for all of that.
My favorite hockey player of all time was Sean Avery. Absolute pest of a guy. Mouthy, chirpy as all heck.
See, I hate the pest whenever he plays against me. But if he plays with me, I love – because it's like I'm annoyed with Jacob Wilson lately. I've irritated a bunch of people with my thoughts on Jacob Wilson. I thought he had a little Bush League antic the other day, the game one of the series where he ran into Luis Guillermo. I don't like the way he moves around in the box. Like, he's the baseball version of John Stockton, where I cannot stand him, partially because he's so good. But if he was on my team, I would absolutely love him. Would absolutely love him. Because he's not, I cannot stand him.
I made that same speech when it was Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks, and I understand there are differences between the two of them. Dylan is not nearly as dirty as Draymond, okay? However, you love Dylan in this city. If you had Draymond, I promise you, you would love Draymond as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I can't stand him outside. Like, yeah, I would agree. Branham, how are you going to forget Coach Thames and David Frost? Sitton was such a bad word. LOL. AR Platinum. Sitton's got some issues. He's... I shouldn't have said that on the air, but he's got some issues. Thames was gone by the time I was a senior, though. We had what was his name? Coach Russell. Billy Russell. Billy Russell was his name. Son pitched to Dallas Baptist. Good family. Good athletic family there. Lenny Randall intentionally laid down a bunt down the first base line to dot up the pitcher from the Cleveland punch. I vaguely remember that. I don't have very good recollection of that. But I do remember there being a huge brawl up the first base line. There was one with Dusty Baker whenever he was a first base coach with the Giants, where there was a huge collision on a hard slide at second to break up a double play. And I think it was Will Clark and Ozzie Smith. And there was immediately a huge fight. You see Dusty Baker sprinting in from off the screen because he was the first base coach and, like, tackling a Cardinal.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was a pretty good one, too.
There was obviously the Don Zimmer, Pedro Martinez, Red Sox.
Oh, Yankees. Yeah.
You know what sparked that whole thing? I believe it was this brawl, and it's actually a brilliant line, and this is why I love smack talk in sports so much, is that they threw at A-Rod, and A-Rod was having a notoriously bad season. And Veritek said to A-Rod, we don't throw at 200 hitters. And that was about enough. And A-Rod shoved his hand into Veritek's face, and the rest is history.
That what was that? There was that Netflix doc on that series
in
the offseason. It was really good. I really liked the Red Sox until they won a World Series. And I've later, like, kind of learned, I think I was enamored by the curse.
It was real, man. You go back and think about some of those series. Like, it was inevitable that they were going to lose in epic collapse fashion. Aaron Boone's home run against Tim Wakefield was having the best series of anybody throughout that series.
Yeah.
And we don't need to go into that. No one cares. But nonetheless, although the Yankees' George Brett brawl was really damn good at third base. And no one got ejected back in the day.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Back in the day, you could brawl, you could get after it, and then just resume activities.
The hard slides at second base used to
be
unbelievable.
And they were out of pocket.
Oh, like they weren't even near the bag.
Oh, forget. I'm surprised no one in right field got taken out on a slide once. I mean, some of the slides were horrible.
I don't know how it wasn't a brawl, but when Albert Bell ran over that second baseman, I thought there would be, because he was Albert Bell.
And they were probably like, no, we're good. Bell. We're good.
Yeah, that's one of the dudes you do not mess with. Yep. Bryce Harper versus Jonathan Papelbon. That was in the same dugout.
That was in the dugout, same team. That's so true. Papelbon talks about that on his podcast a little bit.
Oh, does
he? Yeah, I think he – I don't want to speak for him, but he did talk about it. It's worth a search, if you will. I can't remember exactly what he said.
I miss back in the day when managers used to kick dirt on the plate and umpires' feet. Don't see that anymore.
Billy Those Martin.
Those were good. They would cover up the plate so they to clean it off. That's why they would always throw the baseballs and stuff onto the field, too. It's like, you got to clean it now, which, I mean, they have ball boys.
Who was the minor leaguer? Wally something, the manager that
he did the grenade.
He did the grenade and the army crawl and went behind the mound. And
have you seen the one where he goes and confronts the visiting radio guy in the booth? Have you seen that?
Yeah, like, didn't they prep it, the whole thing, though? Like,
I was wondering if it was fake. Yeah. Yeah, it had to be fake,
right? It sounded real.
It did.
It sounded real.
I couldn't tell, because this was also before the time before people started faking things for social media.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this was probably, what, 10, 15 years ago? Mm-hmm. We're live on the air right now. Yeah, what do you need? Tickets?
Tickets.
Tickets for what?
What
do you need tickets for? Oh, tickets?
I think they're outside to the left.
Yeah.
This is ESPN Radio Live.
You can give me your money, though, if you'd like. I won't give you
10
tickets,
bucks. Put your 10 bucks here.
Yeah, get the money. Natural segue to break, I think. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the TV voice of the Houston Astros, Todd Kallas, that's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. If you're looking for something fun to do here in the next week or two, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle, the stress and anxiety, whatever is causing that for you, and get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Book that stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. From the open green spaces, wildlife, the majestic trees, and some of the best fishing in Texas, you can't beat it. We went up there a few weeks ago. I went straight from work on a Friday. I was up there in no time. I was up there before the sun went down. That's how quick you're going to get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Just 90 minutes from Houston. Escape the city without traveling too far. Hike on their 92-acre property. Kayak. They have pickleball courts. They have a fantastic pool. You can pick up a drink right by the pool, too, and that's always a fun time, of course. Two Creeks Crossing Resort always takes care of their visitors. They had food trucks whenever we were there, both on Friday and on Saturday. They had some live music on Saturday, a little live music and a cold beer. Ain't ever been mad at that. Glamping, cabins, tree houses. We stayed in the tree house, or pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everyone. And also, incredible savings right now in June and July. You book five nights, you save 35%. It's that simple. All you have to do is book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com, twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, listen to this.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time to get the latest about the Stros with Todd Kallas. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and Pipe Fitters Local 211. Here's Joel and Jeremy with Todd Kallas.
Will Kunkel filling in for Blankers today. Killer Bees live at the Downtown Aquarium as we go straight out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by the TV voice of the Houston Astros, Todd Kallas. Todd, I hope the travels went well. Split a road series in Sacramento. Okay result, but you have to feel good where the Astros are in the AOS and really the American League standings as a whole.
Yeah, the fact that they've kind of gained ground on the Yankees, almost have the second best record in the American League right now. It's been a good run. It would have been nice to win three out of four. They were in every game, lost on a couple of walk-offs by their young star, who's emerging at first base, Nick Kurtz. But overall, you're going to take a split on the road. You can't win them all.
Todd, I'm curious what you think about this. Will Kunkel here. I said that Joe Espada is deserving to be in the conversation of 1-2 with A.J. Hinch and AL Manager of the Year. I know it's early, but what's your take on what he's done this year, the changes that he's made? Because he hasn't made small changes. He's made big changes with the outfielders, the corner outfielders coming into the season, and obviously with the lineup, and they have worked out.
Yeah, no doubt. Joe finished fourth last year in AL Manager of the Year voting, and he's doing a better job this year. I agree with you, Will. I would say, yeah, right there with A.J. Hinch for sure. When you don't have Yordan Alvarez, when you don't have three fifth-year starting rotation, he's done it. And really, we haven't seen Christian Walker at his best yet. Isak Paredes and Jeremy Peña have been doing a lot of the heavy lifting But, yeah, it's been mix and match, find the right guys to fill in when you can. Joe has pulled all the right triggers to this point, and he would definitely deserve consideration for AL Manager of the Year at nearing the halfway point.
Todd, I'm curious your observation and your assessment of the ballpark there in Sacramento, because it's not a temporary home, as you guys were talking about on the broadcast. The Athletics are going to live there for a few years before they make their eventual move, maybe, to Las Vegas. And you saw Jose Altuve with a couple of 400-foot homers, Mauricio Dubon as well. What was your assessment of the ballpark and the way it plays?
Definitely an offensive ballpark. You're going to see a lot of runs scored there. And it's not just because the A's have struggled with their bullpen. It's just the ball just flies there. And the win yesterday for the first time was a big factor. We saw a lot of balls blowing 20 to 30 feet, starting on the foul line and blowing 30 feet there, or starting in the stands and blowing 30 feet in play. So that was a little different. The first three nights was pretty calm. The last night, the wind was a big factor. I like it a lot. I think it's going to be, like you said, it's a temporary home. They're going to be there until 2027. Then they're going to move to their new digs in Vegas across from the MGM Grand. But I think it would be worth it if Astros fans wanted to take a little trip out there. It's kind of that minor league intimacy where you can get up and close with players. Jose Altuve, I think, signed autographs after every game, if not every game, all but one, because I saw him at least three of the four nights signing autographs right by the dugout after the game. So a lot of little spots to stop in along the way to the stadium, and you can stay right there where you can walk to the ballpark across that bridge. It's a nice setup. It's not going to be major league quality in terms of all the amenities, but it's got a really nice feel to it, and they've done a nice job.
You had a lot of nice things to say about it, but do you think this is a good look for baseball? Like, do you think this is good for Major League Baseball to be playing in a park like this?
I don't know what their options were. I mean, once they decided they were moving to Vegas, Oakland was out at that point. They couldn't negotiate a deal with the city at the Coliseum. So I don't know what, you know, it's kind of like Tampa Bay when they lost the roof off Tropicana Field. They had to come up with a solution in a hurry. So I guess this is the best next best thing. I don't think, even though their AAA team plays in Vegas out in the burbs a little bit, I don't think you want to have outdoor baseball in the major leagues in Vegas in the summertime. As hot as it gets in Sacramento, it's definitely not as hot there as it would be in Vegas this summer. So, yeah, is it ideal? No, but is it a decent temporary stop for 3 years? Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I'll be happy to go back there in September and for the next 2 years after that.
Being joined by Todd Callis on the HR&P guest line, our conversation presented by Pipefitters Local 211. They do it right. You know, the trade deadline approaching kind of. I mean, we're still over a month away from the trade deadline, but you're starting to see a bunch of the articles. These contenders need this. These contenders need that. The Astros are in an interesting spot because they're playing really well. They're doing it without some of their best players, Yordan Alvarez. They're getting a lot of pitchers back. What kind of challenges or what kind of options do you think will be there for Dana Brown?
I don't know if it's going to be very easy for Dana to pull a trigger on a big deal, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's so many teams in play right now. There's not going to be many sellers. So the sellers are going to get a huge haul for whatever players are traded to a contending team. Number two, they've been very careful to stay under that next level of the CBT. So if he's going to make a trade, he's going to have to balance the books a little bit. I don't know if he can take on, you know, a $10 or $15 million salary. So it's going to be kind of thread and needle a little bit. Certainly, would a left-hand bat help this lineup at some point, even when Yordan comes back? Absolutely. I think they feel pretty good about where they are with their arms. Right now, three rookies, four out of the six are starting, but you're eventually going to see guys come back off the IL that are going to be available in the second half. So that could be a nice boost for the Astros. Meanwhile, the rookies have done just fine, as last night was the first game in 17 this month where the Astros gave up more than four runs. So to long-winded answer to your question, I do think they're going to do something, but I think it's going to be more challenging this summer than it's been for Dana in the past couple of trade deadlines.
Todd, I'm curious, what's been your biggest surprise this season? For me, I think it's Jake Meyers. Like, his WAR this year, if you're a WAR guy on Fangraphs, is approaching 2. He's hitting over 300. He's not an offensive juggernaut, but what he's been able to do compared to previous seasons he's able to fill a gap that that was a big hole coming into the season, because they were going to kind of have to platoon those guys, and it seems like Jake's really taken this role over.
Yeah, Jake's right up there for biggest surprises. I'm agreeing with you there. I put Steven Okrin in that same category. He's been really, really good for a guy who we didn't know much about coming into spring training, had a down year last year with the Twins. And the rookie guys that are in the rotation, that's been a big surprise. I mean, the team has been able to not only steady the ship, but they've been able to move forward and pick up a nice lead in the AL West without a lot of their starters, without the Spencer Arrigettis and Hayden Wisniewskis and Ronel Blancos of the world and Lance McCullers Jr. more recently. So, yeah, they're all surprises. And another little sneaky surprise to me, I knew that Cam Smith had incredible physical skills as a baseball player. You can see that right away in spring training. But watching him day in and day out, the way he runs the bases, the way he spits on tough pitches, the way he knows the game so well and knows how to play the game so well at age 22, it's kind of an innate ability of his that I didn't know about just watching him a few games in spring training. Now watching him every day, this kid is going to be something really special. He already is kind of special, but he has got a huge future in front of him.
To that note, I do not think that we can overestimate how hard it is and how impressive it has been for him to play right field almost for the first time in his career at the major league level, and it makes it look like he's been playing it his whole life.
The fact that he was, I don't know if he's still there now because he had a little bit of probably his worst defensive series of the season in Sacramento, and there's a lot of factors in with that stadium, but the fact that he was leading right fielders and outs above average coming into that series, and he had never played that position before, is incredible. You don't learn that fast that he has learned. And you think about this. Last night was the one-year anniversary of his last college baseball game. He was playing Tennessee. They got eliminated that night. And here he is 1 year later, coming off an 8 or 9 hit series where he hit a couple of home runs in one game and continues to play great defense and run the bases and take tough pitches. Yeah, I'm really high on what Cam Smith is doing in 2025 and even more looking forward to his future.
How about at the plate, TK? What is the difference, do you think, in his first 115 plate appearances and his last 115?
I think a little more aggressiveness. I think he was always selective with his pitches and not leaving the zone too much. But I think a little more aggressiveness early in the count. Sometimes he was taking early count strikes, and now I feel like he's going after them more. And I think just once you get used to the whole major league setup, right, it's not – college is great. College is getting closer and closer to double A, I guess, at the minor league level in terms of how they learn the game and how what kind of amenities they have and how tough the competition is. College baseball is great, but until you do the grind every day where you're not getting a Tuesday and a Thursday off every week or a Monday and a Wednesday off every week, until you...
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.